Overcrit, The Legend of Zelda, Skyward Sword.
The Legend of Zelda is a series that nearly all gamers over the age of 25 have sampled in one flavor or another. Crossing every single platform that Nintendo Limited has created, Zelda has a staple as one of Nintendo's big staples of games, alongside such names as Mario, Metroid, and Pokemon. Its format is usually the same, following the story of a young boy who is thrust into an adventure to save the world through whatever plot device is spelled out in the subtitle of the game's name. Considering they're made by Nintendo, they usually have long production times and are crafted to be big-ticket entries into popular gaming. Recently, they've come under fire from so-called critics for being a stale series of games, never erring from a predetermined path into predictability. As the 25th anniversary tribute to the series, Skyward Sword sets out to pay homage to both its roots in the series and to start fresh with newer ideas and fresher character development plots, as well as to make the most of the Wii Motion Plus's 1-to-1 control ratio. The story centers around a young boy living on an island in the sky called Skyloft, with a small band of survivors from some great disaster long ago. The boy, hereafter referred to as Link, what his name traditionally is though, you're given the option to rename him as you like, dreams of some calamity with lots of teeth and roaring, and is awoken by his friend Zelda. It's the 25th anniversary of the Skyloft Knights ceremony to honor the goddess that saved them so long ago. Very nice fourth wall lean. And after Link wins, is awarded with a sailcloth made by his childhood friend. Soon after, she is lost in a tornado while they ride out on their bird mounts, called Loftwings, and disappears, propelling Link into a destiny set out for him. Claim the goddess sword and go save your best friend.
Graphical presentation.
Nintendo has a tendency to make big promises on the Zelda series, always seeking to explore fresher territory with its graphical design. Over the years, we've had the grittier realism of Twilight Princess with various dark themes, as well as the cartoony, cel-shaded, big-cat-eyed strangeness of Wind Waker, Phantom Hourglass, Spirit Tracks. A rarity for a Zelda series, that one was a trilogy of sequels that tied along one main storyline. This time, Skyward Sword seeks to combine the two with cel-shading and realistic body proportions for the NPCs and monsters you encounter. As well, a nicer touch was the inclusion to get around the Wii's weaker processing power by masking distance draw-in through usage of impressionistic style. If you're far away from something but there's enough light to distinguish it, it vaguely looks to be covered with impressionist dots. Even so, facial detail and body acting is top-notch and really displays the end power of the Wii. Emotions past anger and sadness can be seen in cutscenes, from anxiety to heart-wrenching sorrow, to determination to just being rather bemused, with a soft head tilt, a wry smile, and a sigh. These are the kinds of things that should be displayed in any game where characters serve to drive the story as much as gameplay, and Skyward Sword delivers. The 1-to-1 Wii Motion Plus should be mentioned for giving added presentation through the hardware's inherent knowledge of how the remote is being held. Link's arm and wrist follow your movement precisely, and this is key to the gameplay. Many doubts were displayed when it was announced that this would be the game's driving gameplay, and it's arguable that Nintendo delivered well with visual style. Color and light are used to maximum effect wherever it's possible, and things generally pop out with lots more color than Twilight Princess offered with its rich bloom and shades of brown.
Sound presentation.
Voice acting is minimal due to the long-standing tradition of Zelda characters speaking in text with audio grunts and squeaks added in for flavor. Plot-related characters, Midna from Twilight Princess is a big example, would get more gibberish-sounding audio, but no real words were ever actually spoken in series. Link's voice actor, a collection of yas and ras, has changed and sounds a bit more mature than last time around. It's a noticeable effect and adds to the growth of the character. Effects are all clear and crisp, from big flashy effects down to the sounds of Link swinging his sword. Indeed, there's a certain quality to it that gives the name more push and more power behind your play. Charging the titular Skyward Strike by holding your remote up gives a light crawling along the blade with a loud shink when it's ready. The bug net item whooshes like a big net ought to, and even some of the returning items like the claw shot retain their machine-like sound effects to gain more familiarity with the returning players. There's little sound clutter and it all flows very seamlessly. Soundtracks were provided by the same composer who made the background music for the Super Mario Galaxy series, and his style shows through, with emphasis where needed and multiple layers of music overlapping dependent on the player's current actions. Do more at certain times, the music adds or subtracts to enhance the moment. And, consistent with the overall theme of homage to the game, there are references to the popular tracks from past games to bring back nostalgia in a very nice way. Without spoiling anything for anyone intrigued by this game, one of the main themes of the game is very literally a prominent theme from another Zelda game, reversed perfectly and unchanged. It's a stunning testament to the original theme's composition and, once you understand both tracks, is its own hidden spoiler for how Skyward Sword's story progresses. I cannot bring myself to tell you of it. If you really must know, go to YouTube and find out for yourself, but be warned that to do so is to give yourself a heads up for a plot twist that I had not seen coming at all. And for a Zelda game to pull a fast one on me, like that, is saying something.
Controls.
Here is where Nintendo put all of their bets. Everything in this game is hinged around the Wii Motion Plus 1-to-1 controls. Now that actually having to point at the screen to aim certain things is a thing of the past, controls flow much smoother than before. Link controls his sword and shield through the remote and nunchuck attachment, and battle is very fast-paced and, for the first time that I can remember, more cerebral. The first dungeon boss in the game is a humongous wake-up call to anyone who has gone through the game up to that point flailing your sword at enemies. Not only will he effortlessly catch your blade, he will rip it out of your hands and mock you while stabbing you with it. Players are required to use battle strategy and controlled swordplay to get past his monumental defenses, and the controls do not disappoint at all. Items are much the same, each with their own relatively similar control scheme. Things that need to be aimed are, and it's usually not much of a hassle to aim when you're given the option to recenter your viewpoint and cursor at any time. This recalibrates the way you're holding the remote at that time to dead center, and gives you unparalleled control over your aiming and movement. Link's movement is all very tight and fluid, with hints of parkour added in through the new stamina meter that depletes over time given how much Link is exerting himself. Too much, and he tires out, leaving his defenses crippled while he catches his breath. Spin attacks are tied to this, another staple from the series starting way back at A Link to the Past, and it adds to combat options and your limited use of them. Skyward strikes, remote held straight up to charge and then slash to give off a sword beam, something not seen since the Game Boy games, are also nice, able to penetrate defenses given how you slash from a distance. It all flows very well and never proved to be anything of an annoyance.
Gameplay replayability.
Skyward Sword goes above and beyond with gameplay. The main story alone takes Link through 7 dungeons in multiple areas, both above the clouds and below. Established traditions, get new item in dungeon, use item to proceed, kill boss, for example, are both heralded and subverted throughout gameplay, oft times when the player is least expecting it. See the boss I mentioned above. There's an overall sense of newness throughout, but with enough nostalgia and little nods interspersed through the story and gameplay that veterans of the Zelda series will likely smile when they realize they are there. With game time ranging anywhere between 30 to 45 hours, dependent on side questing and backtracking needed for optional upgrades, Skyward Sword will not be a quick game, and should be approached with the knowledge that you're in for a pretty long haul. Replayability has been roughly based on a player-by-player basis, but without question, many Zelda fans look back on the series and often replay it for no other reason than because the games are solidly built. Skyward breaks from a one-game run format by allowing players to engage Hero Mode upon completion. Hero Mode makes enemies hit twice as hard and eliminates random health drops, forcing players to be extremely diligent about their movements in combat. Players are allowed to keep their item drops and collected bugs, such that they may begin by immediately enhancing items to more powerful versions upon acquiring them, however. So it's not totally unfair, and there does exist a way to force the game to give health hearts upon killing monsters. As such, Hero Mode is exactly what it says on the tin, and is for experts to really hone their skills and beat a game that's already tough, now made truly difficult. Not kidding here. This is the first Zelda game since I cannot remember when, where I was actually killed in combat through sheer enemy AI and non-ease. You cannot expect to coast through this game or you will be punished, and frankly, that's refreshing for me as a player.
Overall opinion.
I'm fully aware that I've crossed the 10k character mark by this point, but I'm beyond caring. This game kicks a lot of ass, and does it with flair, style, and a passion for both establishing itself as a standalone and for paying more than sufficient tribute to the series that gave birth to it. It forces you to be more intelligent, more active, and more into the game, and I am awed by how well it all fits together. You feel things in this game, you emote with the characters, and that's an amazing triumph for any company. Nintendo's been doing this for pretty much my entire life, and whatever some reviewers may think about them or their penchant for, quote, rehashing old series, Nintendo knows one simple philosophy. If it isn't broken, don't fix it. If it works, enhance it. If it really works, keep it going. There is a reason that people buy these games. Not because we as gamers are sheep or that we'll blindly slobber over anything stamped with that silly golden seal. Because they're good games, damn it! Yes, I'm aware my fanboy is showing, but I am not hiding it, nor am I afraid of it. The game is solid, even without my worship of it, and anyone who likes good gameplay tied with tight controls and a solid story would be welcomed into this game. I found very little, as a reviewer and as a fan, that I could honestly say doesn't work in this game. If there was something to be said for badness, it would be that it just took a smidge too long to get to anywhere when flying, and that skydiving was not very tight or useful. Thankfully, skydiving isn't made an issue of, and flying still doesn't last all that long when you think about it. Because of that, I really cannot bring myself to say they're more than just little annoyances and nothing more. Personal beasts with the game that just delivers a well-polished experience overall and has no real hubris about it. They're not bragging, they just gave us another good game. Now, I know that many reviewers are polarized by the series. Yahtzee himself tends to hate them and bitch about their playstyles and differences as well as the stagnation of a series. Were he to approach this with an open mind, I'd be impressed for one, but he might be more so. You'll hardly see me holding my breath, because lots of reviewers have been giving 10s and perfect scores to Skyward Sword, making him be instantly wary. Other reviewers have criticized more than they really need to. I find this to be somewhat churlish, as it is not our job to be mean-spirited or to intentionally find problems with games. If they exist, then they exist. But if they do not break game flow or make you anything more than annoyed, they shouldn't be given more than a mention. Why? Simple. I'm an average person. Nothing really special about me save my above-average hand-eye coordination. So when I, an average person and the target recipient of this game, cannot find much of anything wrong, then that's not a problem. That's a triumph. To get off my soapbox and to get on with it, I'll say simply that more reviewers could keep an open mind about the games they hate as well as look more critically at the games they worship. Chances are, their reviews are filled with bias. Yes, I know that I'm calling the kettle black here, but I fully well admit it. I like this series, but I was open-minded about my gameplay, and there's little wrong with it. So what's the verdict? If you own a Wii and don't mind investing in either a Wii Motion Plus remote or attachment, then you should
buy this game.
Rent at the very least, and don't bother with YouTube. Be sitting there forever watching someone play, and that takes the fun out of the whole experience. And if someone tells you with a snark that this game will only be like every other Zelda series, tell them you have it on reliable credit that there's at least two big differences. Zelda is not revealed to be a princess, and Ganon/Ganondorf is not the final boss. There's so much more to this than blind contempt will cover. Reviewers and critics alike who bash this game should be looked at, considered for what they are actually saying, rather than what they put on paper. In the end, The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword is, simply put, phenomenal and beautiful. It marks the full power of the console's hardware and software, and it's a brilliant homage to one of the classics that helped establish us as a culture. At the very least, look at it that way and give it the proper respect you would to Castlevania, Sonic, and Halo. These series put us on the map and have kept us in popular culture. We owe them much, and Skyward Sword is no better example of how a series can grow and flourish given the proper care and nourishment from both its publishers and its fandom.
Overcrit, Finn.